You're listening to the Simo and Jordan podcast. If listening persists, please see your therapist. Well, it's obviously too late for him. He's been listening far too long.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
Simo, I want to talk about what happened to me last night. I had a very embarrassing kind of series of events that happened, which meant that I think my neighbours saw me with no pants on.
Okay, is this like a series of unfortunate events?
Look, I don't think Levin Schnickert's writing any more books, but if he is, perhaps this could give him inspiration.
So where do we start?
Well, Simo, I was arriving home last night, and my house, it has a little bit of a footpath kind of winding down through some trees, and that footpath is shared with my neighbour's house. So we kind of go down this footpath, left for mine, right for theirs.
Okay, that makes sense.
So I got to the bottom of the footpath, my front door, went into my pocket to get my keys out.
Now, you had pants on at this point.
Yes, at this point, I was wearing pants.
Okay.
Seems like a weird thing to say, but yes, I was.
I was just checking that you weren't kind of just pulling the wool over our eyes or pants above our eyes and, you know, you weren't wearing pants the entire time.
No, Simo, I hadn't pulled the wool over your eyes, but okay. I had successfully pulled jeans over my bum.
Good.
So, Simo, I got to my front door, reached into my pocket to get my keys, and I had my keys. However, somehow throughout the day, one of the key rings had got caught on like a loose thread that was in my jean pocket.
Right, okay.
And so even though that I had my jeans in my pocket, I went to pull them out, but I couldn't because they were caught on something.
Oh, no.
And I'm like standing there at the front door. It's quite cold as well, so I kind of want to get in the house.
It was the wind chill yesterday was horrendous.
True.
Bad.
So I'm kind of standing there trying to get my keys out of my pocket, and they just won't. They're like stuck. They're like caught on something.
Okay.
I'm like, how does that happen?
Meanwhile, you're freezing your... Well, it wasn't your bare bottom yet, but no. You were freezing your butt off.
Well, I'm kind of thinking, so what do I do? Because, like, I've got my keys here. I can't get them out of my pocket. I could sort of get them to the top of the pocket.
Yeah.
So I could see them. I could see the key I needed, but where the lock is on my door, it's, like, sort of chest height.
Okay.
So there was this kind of 45 centimetre or so gap where I couldn't get the keys. I was kind of trying to jump as if that would do anything, to try and get the keys into the door. And I'm kind of thinking, what am I going to do? Because like, my housemates aren't home. There's no one that can let me in.
Couldn't stand on a pot plant or there wasn't anything that was stool kind of height that could help you.
I kind of had a look around and couldn't see anything. So, and like my keys, I was literally there for like 5-10 minutes trying to just unravel them in my pocket. And for whatever reason, I just couldn't, it wouldn't undo.
And so the answer was staring you right in the face.
Well, Simo, I didn't want to do this because obviously it's very cold. You mentioned the wind chill factor.
Yeah.
But I kind of came to the realization that, like, there was no other option. So I waited for the security lights to go off.
Okay. Oh, man.
Took my shoes off.
Imagine if they call the police on you.
I know. There's someone with no pants trying to break into next door. Oh, no, that is next door's residence.
Okay. Someone's waited for the security lights to go out before they've taken off their pants.
Look, out of context, this sounds bad. I admit that.
What's going on over there next door, Cheryl? I don't know. Jordan just got home, but I don't know what he's doing.
So, Sam, I took my shoes, waited for the security light to go off, took my shoes off. Took my jeans off.
Yep.
Kind of grabbed. I had another go at when the jeans were off trying to get the keys out, but it wouldn't budge. So
you had to take them completely off. This isn't just like down to the knees.
No.
This is loosey-goosey.
This was completely
wow.
I still had underwear on. I should just stress that.
Oh, right. Yep.
But still, so I took the jeans off and kind of couldn't get it out. So I'm like, oh, bugger. I'll just bring the jean pocket to the door and kind of unlock it as, you know, with the keys still attached to the jeans.
Yeah.
As soon as I unlocked it, all of a sudden, all of the lights,
security lights
on the neighbor's house behind me went on.
Someone's just looking out the window. Someone's getting lucky. What's going on in there tonight?
Well, I don't know if they saw. I'm too embarrassed to go ask. So as soon as I heard that, I'm like, oh, quickly. Like, little I've never opened the door and closed it quicker in my life. If Usain Bolt was, like, breaking a world record for opening and closing a door, I would have beaten it.
Oh, wow. So how did you... Because that would have been cold. Do you have a wood fire at home? What did you do?
Straight in the shower.
Straight in the shower. Right.
Straight in the shower to defrost.
Smart move.
And also probably looking for new accommodation now because I can never go back to my house.
Simo and Jordan.
And extreme sports.
Yeah.
Ever done one?
No.
Ping pong doesn't count. Neither does darts. Got to be more extreme.
Yeah, damn it. What if I throw my dart and as I throw it, I yell, extreme? Does that do anything?
That's getting close.
You know, it's certainly more extreme than not yelling extreme, but I don't feel quite the extreme level.
Well, this is pretty extreme, mate.
Okay.
So, a British lad at 3 years of age has become the youngest person to reach the summit of 10,000 feet.
Wow.
At 3 years of age...
Did he yell extreme?
All the time. Extreme!
It's like the parents are like, we're going to leave you up the top of the mountain if you stop yelling extreme.
It just keeps bouncing off. It's like not doing it anymore, but it's bouncing off all the mountain ranges. So, 10,000 feet, what's your maths like?
Well, I know that 10,000 feet is more than 9,000 feet.
It's over 3,000 metres. So.
Okay. And I assume he's climbed it.
Yes.
Like on his own. Oh, well, not on his own, but with parents.
just a three-year-old packing the pegs and the cables.
See you, Mum. I'm going. No, I'm assuming he had a parent or guardian. But what I mean is he climbed it. He was actually physically climbing it.
Well, here's where it gets tricky.
Oh.
Okay, so the toddler has become the youngest person to reach the summit.
Ah.
So he is rewarded for his efforts with some sweets from Mum and Dad.
Bit of an extreme measure just to get some sweets. You'd hope for something better than that, I guess.
So his sister made history as well, Freya.
Okay.
But it's worth mentioning he was, in fact, carried to the top.
Okay.
By Mum.
Right.
Dad reckons he was carrying the gear. You got the kid? Yeah, no, I've got...
Yeah.
Yep, good.
And the sister had to walk.
She did it all herself.
Is the sister, like, of similar age? Or?
Seven.
Okay, seven.
So she hasn't got the record.
I really hope, like, just as they got to the top of the mountain, they were maybe, you know, 20 feet or so away. The sister ran ahead and goes, yes, I'm the youngest at 10,000 feet. And then 5 seconds later, like, the three-year-old brother's, like...
Pops his head out the backpack.
Oh!
Just, we didn't know you were here.
So this family has climbed up to a mountain. Why? Any reason? Just because they can, or?
I don't know. Like the probably challenges in life teach something to their kids.
Mm.
Like the great philosopher Mother Superior said from The Sound of Music, climb every mountain, ford every stream, overcome your obstacles.
Mm. It's making my parents seem a bit lazy that they didn't carry me up a mountain when I was three.
So he weighs about 15 kilo.
Yeah.
You could imagine as well, I reckon Mum probably isn't going to let the dad carry the child at that point. Like,
yeah,
he may be your son, but we're doing something extremely dangerous. You can carry the clips and the rope, dear.
Yes, you can carry the water.
So, worth mentioning, Jackson, 3 years of age, so he's got the record for the youngest ever person to reach the summit, while Freya, his seven-year-old sister, is in fact the youngest person to climb the mountain unaided.
Oh, okay. So she's still got a record.
Typical double standards. As soon as there's a new kid in the family, the elder one's forgotten about... And all the attention's on the youngest.
Just imagine the arguments that those two kids will have, like, for the rest of their life about whose record is better.
So were you were the youngest, weren't you? Are you the youngest?
I'm the youngest in my family.
Why?
Yeah.
I'm not surprised. Typical.
Why?
No, I'm just saying, you got the vibe.
Why, that I want to be carried up a mountain?
Yeah,
yes, I do.
That people carry you in every way, shape and form.
Yes.
I'm the eldest, FYI.
I can tell.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
And Simo, the Tokyo Olympics was meant to be happening, I think, pretty much now.
Really?
But yeah, obviously it's been postponed for a year.
I've got to be honest, with the Olympics, there's heaps of coverage on it. I never know when it starts because of the sheer volume of...
Yeah, there's a lot.
Because everyone's like, it's happening, it's starting, and then you never know when it actually starts.
And it's like, oh, it started 3 days ago. Oh, okay.
There's always that.
The swimming and running hasn't started yet, so I'm not really too bothered, let's face it.
What were they doing? The hop, skip and jump?
I don't know. But Simo, so yeah, the Tokyo Olympics were meant to be happening at the moment. Obviously, they're not because of COVID, being postponed to next year. But the thing is, all the athletes were preparing themselves, so they had like 4 years of preparation to get ready for this moment, and now it's not happening. They kind of have to go, oh, okay, well, we'll put it on hold for 12 months.
Because they want to be able to peak at certain times, I guess, right?
Exactly.
Wow.
Well, one American swimmer is, you know, she's peaking at this time, and she's not wasting that opportunity.
Mm.
She's come up with a brand new challenge. She posted a video of herself doing this challenge on her Instagram.
Okay.
And the skill level you need for this is absolutely unbelievable.
Mm.
I wouldn't be able to do this.
Okay.
So I guarantee you, nor probably anyone else would be able to do it.
Right.
You don't know what it is right now.
No, not a clue.
All right, Simo, so I've put the video on your computer screen over there.
Yeah.
All right, it doesn't have any sound.
No.
But I just want you to go on and commentate. Get your Bruce McAvaney or whatever his name is.
All right, well...
Get your inner Bruce
out. Shall I set the scene before we begin?
Yeah, okay.
All right. There is a human being in a swimming pool.
We're talking about Olympic swimmer. I think that was a given.
Hey, you never know. Okay, so the pool has lanes currently through it. So
the pool has water in it as well.
It's currently got a lot of liquid.
To an Olympic standard.
However, it's worth mentioning, doesn't look like there's anyone else in the pool. They're probably in the fast lane if they are an Olympic swimmer, I assume. So we'll go from there.
All right. So
here we see. I've gone straight to Attenborough.
I know. Your commentary skills go straight to David Attenborough.
Yeah. All right. So now we're at the side of the pool. She's drinking some chocolate milk. Oh, what is this? All right. So the chocolate milk, she's placed it on the top
of... She didn't drink it.
...her head. She didn't drink it. It's on top of her head. Her head remains above the water as she swims freestyle. She's got a snorkel. She's breathing through the snorkel as she continues to race down the pool. Slightly to the right. I don't think her form is particularly strong here.
All right, mate.
She's still got a glass of chocolate milk balancing on her head. She's made it past the 35-meter mark. Now pushing towards the end, and the strokes have really started to lengthen.
All right, we probably don't have to do the whole race. Not going to lie, it's a 50-meter pool. What this swimmer, her name is Kate Ledecky. She's an American swimmer.
Right.
And what she's done, she's just on a full length of an Olympic-sized swimming pool while balancing a cup of chocolate milk on the top of her head.
Okay, that's skills.
Well, I know.
Nice.
That is insane level skills. And it gets to a point where, like, the Olympics aren't happening. Hmm. Olympians, they're just showing off. Like, let's face it, like, no mere mortal could do that. No mere mortal has the skill to do that.
Also, the you know how there's always the people that operate those places? You know how you never want to piss off a groundsman at a cricket field?
Okay, if you insist.
So it's like same thing.
I just don't think you really want to annoy anyone, no matter what their occupation is.
But same thing, like with a swimming pool, there's someone that's absolutely slaved over charts about how much chlorine or salt needs to be put in there, and he's watching her swim completely down the lane with a chocolate milk glass on her head. If that soils the liquid of the swimming pool... Larry from maintenance is not going to be happy.
See, Mo, let's face it. If Larry from maintenance was so unhappy about people potentially putting a foreign substance into his swimming pool, he shouldn't be managing a swimming pool. So, have you ever been in a swimming pool and not peed?
Yeah, of course.
What? No, that's a lie.
No, of course.
Of course everyone does that. I'm pretty sure in the Olympics they pee just to give themselves a bit of extra propulsion.
That's disgusting.
Just like they say, but we're getting to the last 10 metres, we're going to need to reach out and just let it a little bit go. It was like a jet ski at the back.
Wait, are you legit saying that you're in a swimming pool? Because a swimming pool is a body of water. I even get a bit guilt-driven about doing it in the open ocean because I feel when that happens, I'm like, are the sharks going to come for me?
You're peeing in a home.
Are the sharks going to come for me for soiling their environment? But you don't do it in a body of water, Jordan. There's four corners.
That's the reason they put chlorine in a swimming pool. It kind of breaks down that matter, I think.
Is that the reason?
Yeah.
Why didn't people just stop?
Because it's fun.
That's not the
reason. Try it. It'll be fun.
That's not the reason. No, I still fear. While I fear sharks in the open ocean, I fear Larry from maintenance.
an angry Larry would probably be scarier than any shark.
Simo and Jordan.
There has been a team of artificial intelligence researchers teaming up with theatre professionals to create the world's first play written entirely by robots.
Okay.
Now, little catch. You and I can't read it.
Why?
It's in Czech Republic's language, so it's not being written in English.
Oh, no, I can read Czech. I think Czech is the... No, I don't know. I can't.
So what I thought was, I was like, well, that's a bit interesting. The reason that they're doing this is because apparently 100 years ago was the first time that the word robot was ever penned. And it was in a play.
Who's making a note of that, seriously?
So that's where they traced it back. So they're like, oh, the first time that robot was ever mentioned was in a play written 100 years ago. So what if now robots wrote a play about men? They've turned the tables.
Oh, I see. So the robot... So is that what this play is about? Like humans?
Yeah.
Doing... anything in particular, or just humans?
It's just us being us, but written by machines.
Just humans failing at using robots to their potential. Like, we give you instructions and we just don't read them.
So, what, are you of the opinion that the robots should be doing more important work?
Well, I think robots should be just doing work that they are designed to do.
Okay.
And not writing plays. Unless there is a robot that is designed to write plays.
That's so machinery elitist of you, Jordan.
Oh.
How dare you?
If any machines I've offended.
Yeah. Run an algorithm on the show and then...
It'll just be a whole lot of ones and zeros. I won't be able to read it anyway.
Just text us. So you reckon that they should be doing other duties?
Well, they should be doing the duties that they are. Because like, we've got lots of brilliant playwrights.
Mm.
I can't think of any, but I'm sure we do.
Okay.
Shakespeare, etc. We don't need robots.
Eugene Ionesco, for one.
Oh, yeah, sorry, I forgot that you used to be in that musical theatre world.
I could go on, but I won't. So what I figured was I knew you would have a problem with this, so we have a top five. Top five other robot duties.
What do you mean? So robot, other than just writing plays?
Yeah, they should be doing other stuff.
Okay.
You know, put the pen away.
Yeah.
Do something else.
I don't think they've given the robot that's writing a play a pen. They haven't just gone, right, robot, there's the robot on the table, has a pen and a piece of paper. Go for it.
Wait, how are they writing it then? Typewriter?
Because he's a robot.
Yeah.
He can just do it.
No, he's a literal robot.
But you're telling me the story. You tell me how he's writing it.
So he's like a humanoid robot. He's not like just a...
So they've actually taught a robot how to grasp a pen and write like words.
That's right.
That's the amazing part of this story. Not that he's writing some crap play that no one's ever going to see.
What have you got against the Czech Republic's theatre?
I don't have anything against the Royal Czech Republic Theatre Association, whatever the hell they're called. Just if you've got this skill of like robots that can grasp a pen and write like humans. You know, publicise that fact.
All right, coming in at your top five other duties that Jordan reckons robots should be doing. Number five is translate that Czech play into English.
Actually, that would be useful.
Coming in at number four is vacuum his room.
Yep, that would be useful as well.
I mean, there are the Roombas, but I reckon we might have made a few leaps since then.
What are Roombas?
They're the little circular ones.
You know, oh, they're the disc things that you just set in... Okay.
Those ones.
Yeah, I did need one of them.
And they had the problem in the programming about how they were all, like, floating over the top of the stove so they could burn to death and not have to clean anything anymore.
I don't remember that.
Even the robots didn't want to clean.
Even the robots really didn't want to clean my room. It's that bad.
Coming in at number three, walk the dog.
No, I mean, admittedly, I don't have a dog. But I know people that enjoy walking their dog. However,
okay. Yeah.
Someone in the office was telling me this morning that it was too cold to walk their dog.
Okay.
And they refused. And their dog, Albert, I think the name was,
right,
didn't go for a walk.
So Albert needs to be walked by a robot.
Yes.
Okay, coming in at number two, other duties that robots should perform, run for US presidency.
Oh, Simo's getting political.
There you go. Coming in at number one. And now I know, according to robots in films, they haven't had a great track record, have they?
Yeah.
In any of the Iron Man films, the robots always rise up. iRobot, the robots tried to take over. Any others that spring to mind?
Well, look, I don't think me insulting robots for the first 2 minutes of this talk break has done anything to...
Yeah, you'll be their first target.
I know. I'm concerned now.
So coming in at number one on your top five other robot duties is world peace. Just focus on that. Stop writing Czech plays, world peace.
It'll be nice.
Yeah, I've set the bar high.
Yeah, you have set the bar very high.
And they've had a bad track record, but we'll back them this time.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
And Simo, one thing we do like to talk about on this show, arguably too much, is animals that have escaped.
Or get stuck in things.
Yes.
Or animals where they don't belong.
I feel that animals where they don't belong and animals escaping are more or less the same thing.
Yeah, but sometimes we also touch on the fact that there is an animal escaped in a foreign country of not where it's birthed. So
yeah,
the kangaroo in Norway comes to mind.
Yeah, there was a kangaroo in Norway. There was a wallaby in America as well, I remember.
How did you guys get, what kind of creds were you cranking to get through airport security?
Well, Simo, it's interesting you bring up animals not being in the country where they are native, because that is exactly what I want to talk about now. We've had the kangaroo in Norway.
Yep.
We've had the wallaby in America. Now, Simo, we have the ostrich that has escaped in. Well, have a guess.
Ooh, an ostrich. Mm-hmm. Or is it in...
It's a country that ostriches are not native to.
New Zealand.
Now, Simo... No, it's not New Zealand. Oh, okay. Can you tell me what countries ostriches are native to?
This will be tough.
Before you say, I don't know the answer to this. So you could just say... You could say New Zealand. I mean, maybe they are.
I'm going to go with Africa, but please continue.
Well, no, Simo, an ostrich has escaped not from Africa, but from the Philippines.
Okay.
Which is not traditionally where the ostriches do roam. Oh, here we go. You've Googled where ostriches are from.
Yeah, native to Africa. Got it in one. Thank you.
Well done.
Oh, a small number of them also call Outback South Australia home.
Oh, really?
The hell?
Africa and South Australia.
Okay. Man, there's all kinds of things lurking out in rural SA.
Rural SA, a lot of murders happen, so you probably don't need to go looking around at what happens there.
Ostriches with guns. Those are the ones you got to watch out for.
Well, Simo, this ostrich that escaped from the Philippines thankfully didn't have any form of ammunition.
Weaponry, no.
At least not that I know of.
They're vicious little buggers.
Well, they're not little. Have you seen them?
I have had a complicated relationship with an ostrich.
Like, as in a relationship, as in a girlfriend?
No.
Yeah, on again, off again with Ozzy the ostrich.
That was our friendship, was very kind of...
You got in the friend zone.
It was very fraught with danger because they do stand quite taller than you.
Yeah.
I was on what are those things called that have the two wheels and the...
Bike?
No, the two wheels.
Motorbike?
Like that go... Like that, and there's it's like a scooter, but it's got two wheels.
I have no idea what you're talking about. You're saying two...
Segway.
Oh, Segway.
Yeah,
okay.
I was on a Segway, and I was doing a wilderness experience, and I got chased by an ostrich.
Hang on, you got chased by an ostrich on a Segway?
Correct, yep.
Okay, look, this ostrich escaped from Philippines. I don't give a stuff about that anymore.
Okay, right.
When did you get chased by an ostrich while you're on a Segway?
January 2018.
Could you even remember the date?
Well, yeah, the month, yeah.
How have you never mentioned this before?
Because it wasn't important.
Yes, it is important.
Okay, what do you want to know?
How?
His name was Ed.
Okay.
Yep, he was one of two ostriches on that particular wilderness park.
Yeah, not a very good wilderness park.
Funnily enough.
Oh, we've got two ostriches. Oh, we've got a wilderness park. Woo, sweet.
Funnily enough, it was rural South Australia, where obviously there are some rogue creatures floating around.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it could chase me. I was on a Segway. Luckily, I'd had lessons, so I escaped.
Segways.
I was wearing a helmet.
Oh, so you're 100% well protected.
I was safe, yeah.
So what, did the ostrich think that you had some food, or did you get too close to the ostrich?
I just heard that he was a bit aggressive.
Okay.
So
it's that time. It's kind of mating season.
Yeah.
Little Simo gets a bit too close to the ostriches.
It was only a little while ago, 2 years ago, yeah. So I made it safely away. If you go anywhere near Glen Forest Wilderness Park in rural SA.
There's an ostrich that's just got a picture of you and like a vendetta against you. He got too close. And then his Segway took him away. He won this battle. But I will win the next.
He's got a map with like the string.
Like, he's tracking you down.
Simo and Jordan. This is the end, but only of today's podcast. And remember, don't move toward the light.
No, go toward the light.
No, don't go toward the light.
You've got to go toward the light.
Don't listen to him.
Yes.
Shut up.
Right.
To hear Simo and Jordan live, join them for Takeaway, on air weeknights from 7 across the Capital Radio Network.
Yeah, that should do it.